For nearly 50 years, TV producer Aaron Spelling helped shape American prime time. Shows like Love Boat, Mod Squad, Charlie's Angels, Dynasty, even Melrose Place and 90210, few won critical acclaim, but many sure were popular. All told, Spelling produced more than 3,000 programs, over 5,000 hours of TV, a sum that still stands as a world record. He was, to say the least, prolific. Aaron Spelling died on Friday of complications from a stroke. He was 83 years old. In a moment, TV Guide's Matt Rausch on the life and legacy of Aaron Spelling. But if you have a favorite Aaron Spelling show or have questions about his role in changing American television, for good or ill, we'd like to hear from you. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. And joining us now, as promised, Matt Rausch, a television critic for TV Guide. He's with us by phone from his office in New York. And thanks very much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
And we should remember that Aaron Spelling, well, if he'd been a better actor, there would have been a lot of dead air on television these last 50 years.
It's true, yeah. In the obits that you saw on television, they would often roll out the clips when he was on in the early days of TV, sometimes playing a scrawny villain or a scrawny somebody in some forgotten Western or something. So he didn't have much of a career as an actor, but he ended up producing a show, sort of a playhouse show that Dick Powell was involved in. Dick Powell became his mentor, and he began to produce series, and eventually he got a few that were actual breakthroughs. The first show that really became noticeable as an Aaron Spelling show was The Mod Squad, which was one of those shows that has a ridiculously silly-sounding title, but it was a moment, it was a show of its moment, and it really helped propel him to the next level, to where he would create one show after another, some forgotten, but many of them really had a place in pop culture history.
And he did seem to have a knack for the, you could call it what you want, but it was the American jugular.
Absolutely. I think we like to call that a golden gut. Fred Silverman, the TV executive, used to be known as having one. And although Aaron Spelling was a smaller person, he certainly had that knack as well of finding either the right show, the right concept, the right title, or in the case of people like Farrah Fawcett and on Melrose Place, Heather Locklear, the right person, or even reviving careers like Joan Collins and Linda Evans for Dynasty. I mean, the huge sensation that would take place whenever they would have a cat fight in a lily pond or a mud puddle was just enormous. And it was great fun to cover those shows. Even if you didn't respect them critically, you had to admit the fact they were fun to watch. And as you look back on his career, I think fondly on the good times that he provided many, many people. He had a great sense of TV as a place for escape and escapism, and he knew that TV had a great capacity for providing that escape, and many of his shows were perfect for that.
A lot of producers are hands-on and influence everything that's done on the show, or some are not. Which kind of producer was he?
Well, I think that he influenced things like the look of a show, the casting of a show, and he was more like a benevolent grandfather to many shows, especially as time went on. The one show that carries his name now on television is Seventh Heaven, which was on the WB, but which was saved from cancellation to help launch a new network, the CW, in the fall, because it, although nobody ever talked about it, it was the most popular show on the WB, and it's probably going to do okay on the CW for as long as it lasts. But he wasn't, you know, intricately involved in the show. He didn't write it or anything like that, but anything that happened around the show, he was very involved in I think, again, the casting of shows like this, the fact that a young actress by the name of Starlet by the name of Jessica Biel came out of a show like that. He had a pretty good eye for this sort of thing, and if you liked the show or even said anything nice about it, he really paid attention. There was a point where Seventh Heaven was named by TV Guide as the best show you're not watching in one of its early seasons, and he called me personally to thank me. I didn't have a lot to do with it, but he was just so glad anybody said anything nice about anything that he ever did, he couldn't help but call.
You say he had a real good eye for talent, or if not talent, who America wanted to watch.
Right.
With one glaring exception, his own daughter.
Yes. Well, you can't really blame a guy for loving his daughter, you know. He put Tori Spelling in 90210, which was a show that was very important in the early launching of the Fox network. It became a signature show for that network, and of course everybody derided Tori Spelling. I once wrote something that was very hurtful to him about her. He would let it be known that he was very protective of his daughter, and now she, of course, has become sort of a tabloid queen and has spoofed her own notoriety in a cable series called So Notorious, which was so irreverent that actually her father was not quite pleased at what she was doing on, I believe, VH1.
But you could have just said that she inherited all of her father's acting talent. But
very true. But tell you what, he had a real eye for what was commercial and what sold, and the fact that he had such a prolific time, as you mentioned earlier, on television says something about, you know, I think he was good for television. Let's put it that way. I mean, even if we gave his shows pretty lousy reviews here and there, there was something kind of enjoyable about wondering what he was going to come up with next.
We're talking with TV Guide's Matt Rausch about the king of the guilty pleasure, Aaron Spelling, who died over the weekend. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a caller on the line. This is Iman. Iman calling us from San Antonio.
Yes, hi.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I actually grew up in Lebanon, and we grew up watching all his shows. Love Boat, Dynasty, Starsky and Hutch, Charlie's Angels. We love these shows, and we watched them, and they represented American pop culture to us. And I was sad to hear when he died. So I didn't grow up in this country, but yet we knew all about his shows.
That's interesting, Iman. Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
And Matt, we sometimes tend to forget what an ambassador to the world American television is. And for better or worse, a lot of that embassy work was done by Aaron Spelling.
Oh, no question about it. You got to figure something like Charlie's Angels. I mean, that's so simple a concept and so crazy. This sort of the jiggle detectives, you know. But that's the kind of thing that sold everywhere. That poster was everywhere in the late 70s. And even though Farrah Fawcett was only on the show for one season, it cemented her fame for sure. Sure, just being part of that sort of crazy concept. Again, these were things that sometimes even the networks didn't want. He would famously tell stories about Charlie's Angels. They'd laugh him out of the room telling this concept. But once you saw it executed and cast the way that he cast it, with the pretty blonde, the sort of no-nonsense Kate Jackson, and the beauty queen from all the glamour ads, mm-hmm. Jacqueline Smith, all carrying guns and wearing crazy costumes and all this sort of business. It was perfect television, perfect escapist bubble television.
Was it P.T. Barnum who said that nobody ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public? Aaron Spelling may have fit into that category.
Not only did not he go broke, he amassed an enormous fortune, and the conspicuous consumption that was so evident on a show like Dynasty became part of his own persona. The house that he ended up building in Hollywood became part laughing stock, part outrage for people who just thought that he'd gone too far. But the fact is, going into that house every day, he knew he had made it. He was so happy to be a famous producer. And on TV, you're a bit anonymous as a producer sometimes, but he was anything but anonymous. He was somebody who was sometimes bigger even than some of the TV shows that he produced. But it is rare, I think, for somebody to be on to do television and to become quite as well known as he became. But a part of it was that he also bought into his myth, and he proudly flaunted it.
You say for all of his faults, whatever they may have been, he was a man who loved TV.
Yeah, he totally loved TV. I mean, he was in it to the very end, and even in this last year with Seventh Heaven possibly being canceled and then coming back, and he also had a series that didn't survive the end of the WB called Charmed. So he had a couple of shows on the air to the very end. I mean, he had a dynasty that adapted with the times. The fact that he was a standard bearer for ABC for many years. Many people thought ABC was Aaron's broadcasting company back in the day of, you know, Dynasty and, oh, Jesus, Fantasy Island, Love Boat, all those shows were on ABC. And then he was very instrumental in the early days of the Fox network, so his company was able to adapt with several generations of TV watchers and found a way to put TV shows on that would appeal to new generations. And that was something that a lot of people don't have that flexibility.
Let's see if we get another caller in. Noren Carr, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Calling from Oakland.
I'm calling because I met my husband and got married through Melrose Place because I invited him over to my house to watch the series finale, to skip class and have a fun time. And we've been together ever since, and we love Melrose Place.
So your marriage outlived the program.
Yes, we actually made it, unlike all the characters on Melrose. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Let's see, we got time to squeeze in one more. Lasagna in Sacramento.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have to say that I grew up in Los Angeles, and his show that influenced me the most was Starsky and Hutch. You have no idea how much that influenced me. I am still in the pursuit of meeting David Soul. I had an opportunity to visit the set and actually watch them film that one time. And it has influenced me greatly.
What did you make of the movie remake?
I was kind of insulted.
completely trammeled on all of his artistic...
it was just a farce. I mean, this is not what Starsky and Hutch was at all.
Well, I'm glad we could have somebody stand up for the artistic integrity of Aaron Spelling and Starsky and Hutch. Lasagna, thanks very much for being
with
us.
Thank you so much.
And Matt Rausch, I guess Aaron Spelling must have made some money on all of those remakes. I mean, there were two Charlie's Angels.
Oh, you got to imagine, yeah. And the thing is about his shows, they may not be timeless, but they were very much of their time. And as these callers indicate to me, that we are just flooded and overwhelmed with fond memories of having watched these shows, even if they were time wasters of the time. There's something really kind of satisfying about knowing that we were all there and watched. Sometimes we'd, on a Saturday night when there was nothing better to do, you would just curl up to the Love Boat and Fantasy Island, and that was a Saturday night well spent. There's something kind of sweet about that.
Matt Rausch, thanks very much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Matt Rausch, a television critic for TV Guide, with us today from his office in New York City. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.